And we are faced today with a reality because of the kind of reactors that we have in this country. And that reality is all of this waste material, high-level waste material that I understand tens of thousands of years will pass and we'll have to store it safely in Yucca Mountain or wherever it is we end up putting it. If you were the man in charge here in the U.S., of the problem of nuclear waste, what would you do, assuming you had you could just issue an edict as a physicist and say, here's what we're going to do? What would you do?
If I had the power to do that, I suppose I would have the funds in order to implement it.
That's
Look,
right. Yes.
The suspension in the 70s of reprocessing was part of the effort to close down nuclear power. Reprocessing would have given a waste form that mm-hmm. would have been much more compact, much easier, and if the reprocessing was done properly, to have a lower lived waste. And more than that, you wouldn't be burying a material that 99 point, well, in the material you're burying, it's more like 96% of it is still perfectly useful for energy.
What would have, could have, that's done.
And right. What would I do now?
That's the question.
There isn't in the present circumstance, there isn't any alternative. If you're going to have the nuclear power and you're not going to have processing, there is no alternative but to bury it in Yucca Mountain or somewhere else. It can't stay in the storage pools around the reactors forever. Like many other things. In our lives, the decisions made 30 years ago, we're paying for.
Yes. How long will we have to be careful stewards of that material once we get it buried wherever it's going?
Well, the long-lived elements in there are the so-called man-made elements, not the fission products. And the long-lived ones, and the reason that one's concerned about them, principally is that in addition to being very long-lived, they can, if the water drainage is suitable to it, you can contaminate water supplies in some distant time.
Mm-hmm. How long, Doctor?
Hundreds of thousands of years. Basically.
Hundreds of thousands of years?
Yeah. These things are very long-lived.
My point is
that they should not really be buried.
Yeah,
I've
got that. But you also said we have no choice.
Well, there's no such program, and there's no prospect of a program.
All right, Doctor, I once saw a Good Morning America, and they had this most remarkable demonstration on. I'm sure you probably heard about it. And they took some high-level waste, or a little tiny bit of it, and they, in the period of 15 or 20 minutes, did some process and reduced, normally would have a half-life of, as you just mentioned, longer than we can imagine. It just knocked down the radiation, apparently, so quickly. It was on Good Morning America. Did you ever hear about that?
I never saw that, no? And I can't fathom what would have been done.
I've always wondered, because I never heard anything after that demonstration that I thought was incredible. So,
yeah, well, it is incredible. it isn't possible in the way we're thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, again,
the thing you could do, of course, is have a simple process, as we did with our IFR reactor,
uh-huh.
to separate the long-lived ones from the shorter-lived ones, and just. And just deal then with the shorter lived ones in a repository that you would have every confidence that would last the few tens or hundreds of years that would be required before they decayed away to levels similar to the original uranium.
Well, man has never done anything for hundreds of thousands of years.
No, of course not. Hundreds of years, yes, churches, all kinds of things, but of course.
Yes, hundreds of thousands of years.
Of course, I mean, it's unimaginable, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, actually, totally unimaginable.
Yeah.
And if there's not an earthquake now, there will be one later.
Yeah.
And if there's not some other form of tragedy now, there will be one later. There could be a rock from space that would... I mean, if all of this stuff that they're going to stuff in the ground, Doctor, got exposed either into a water table or got exposed to the air by accident... What would the likely results be?
Well, the result would be one that you would it would vary. Look, I've worked with a lot of radioactivity over the years, and when the let's talk about spent fuel. When the spent fuel first comes out of the reactor, it's very hot indeed, very radioactive. You don't want to be standing by it.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't take very many weeks before most of that dies away. The very long-lived material is not very radioactive. In other words, in order for it to harm a human, I mean, you can stand by it. In fact, you can pick it up in your hands. I've done that in experiments. The very long life stuff has to be ingested as you would ingest arsenic or something else, that heavy metal like that would harm you.
You see, that's why I was asking about water tables.
Yeah, and that is exactly right. It would have to be in the water or the air, and you'd have to ingest it either in your lungs or whatever, very similar to any other heavy metal, ingesting radium, ingesting, and so on. But as far as the danger in standing by it is concerned, that's confined to the first, I don't know, 100, 200, 300 years, something like that.
I see.
Which I don't think is generally appreciated. I'm not sure how important that is.
Well, it's fairly important to me.
Yeah.
Actually.
Because that's what we tried to do with the IFR, and. Each of the things I mentioned, but let me stay to the waste. The waste, we wanted to have simply fission product, simply the fission product. And what that meant was, as I said, in perhaps 300 years, or depending on one or two things, but in a few hundred years, 300, 500, 200, whatever, that the activity would have dropped to the same level as the original uranium when it was mined, which was just a criterion we used to say, well, that's pretty good.